إن الحمد لله أحمده وأستعين وأستغفره نعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها فإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار Praise Allah سبحانه وتعالى And he is the only one worthy of praise. I seek his help, his guidance, and his forgiveness. I believe in him, I trust him. I seek Allah's forgiveness for me and you and all the Muslims. I believe in him and I trust him. I seek refuge in Almighty Allah from the evil of our passions. Indeed, whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides him to Al-Islam, no one can mislead him after Allah. And whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put him astray, no one can guide him after Allah. I testify openly that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah Rabbil Alameen. And I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger and the seal of all the prophets. O Muslims, you must know that the best speech is the speech of Almighty Allah, which is the Quran. The best guidance is the course of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is his sunnah. The worst of all affairs is innovation and addition to the religion of Allah. Indeed, every addition to the religion of Islam will lead to hellfire. I adjure you as well as myself to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the best of your ability. Fear Allah and don't die unless you are Muslims. I greet you all here with the greeting of Al-Islam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And today is Tuesday, the 6th of July for the year 1999, which is equivalent to the 21st of Rabi' al-Awwal for the year 1420. And today here, inshallah, in Masjid al-Muslimin, Islamic Center of Columbia, South Carolina, we here to continue our discussion concerning classes from the book Bulugh al-Maram min Adillat al-Ahkam lil-Hafiz Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani rahimahullah. Our study and our discussion from the book The Attainment of the Objective. And this actually is the second class for the fifth album. Alhamdulillah, Allah had blessed us that we finish four albums already, which each album consists of 12 classes, 12 tapes. And this class today constitute the second class in the fifth album. The first class, which started about marriage, and we had finished a discussion concerning the book of marriage up to page number 347, Arabic and English edition. And the last hadith we talked about it was hadith number 836. So in continuation with our classes, inshallah, the first hadith for tonight is hadith number 837 in page number 347. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: لا تنكحوا الأيم حتى تستأمر، ولا تنكح البكر حتى تستأذن. قالوا: يا رسول الله، وكيف إذنها؟ قال: أن تسكت. متفق عليه. The hadith is reported by Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him. And the hadith in the collection of Al-Bukhari, Al-Imam Al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim, rahmatullahi alayhima. So the hadith is authentic, inshallah. And again, the hadith emphasizes the necessity of a guardian in the marriage, which is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, what the meaning is: a woman without a husband must not be married till she consulted. The woman who is not married, regardless if this woman been married before or not been married, that for a woman who is not virgin, that it have to be consultation, a clear cut agreement from her. As for the woman who is virgin, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised the guardian that he will get her permission. And the Sahaba, may Allah be pleased with them, asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam how the permission can be known. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, her consent that to be silent, and this will indicate her agreement. So although that the woman who is been married before, that means is not a virgin anymore, she seemed to be more mature than the virgin who never been married or been with a man before, but nevertheless still it have to be a guardian to give her in marriage. And she has the right to refuse or to accept, not because the woman has a guardian to give her away in marriage that he can impose this on her, but for sure she has the right to refuse the person or to accept him. And this does not mean that the marriage will be without a guardian, because we had stated in hadith before, maybe few hadiths before, that لا نكاح إلا بولي. That means there is no marriage without a guardian. And we indicated already who is the guardian, and in the absence of the guardian, and when I mean absence of the guardian, does not mean that the guardian is someplace out of the country or out of town or out of the city. When I mean absence of the guardian, that because that she don't have a guardian, and this can be for the death of the guardian, or that because she is a newly Muslim and nobody else in her family or Muslim male member, like a father or a brother or a son. So still, even with the absence of those people, it have to be a guardian. And in this case, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made the sultan, the man who's in authority, the khalifa, the imam, the amir, the judge. And as I stated before, this will be in our case here in United States, to be the imam of the masjid, no anybody else, in the absence of her guardian. Now, if Air Garden exists but he's in other town in another country, we could not conduct this marriage without getting his consent. If the garden won't marry his daughter or his sister or his mother or whosoever that he's in charge of her, and she refused, he doesn't have the right to impose this marriage on her. He doesn't have the right to impose the marriage on her. In case that she wants to marry somebody and her father or her son or her brother or whosoever act in this position refuse, and this refusal was not because a matter of religion, of something wrong about his deen, because somebody say, oh, he's not from our, he doesn't have the same color, or he doesn't have the same background, or he doesn't have the same culture, or he's not making enough money, or whatever kind of excuses, okay? She has the right to take her affair to the Sultan, or to the person who is in charge of the Muslim community, okay? So let's say that somebody want to marry this sister, and her brother or whosoever in charge of her affair, he refused him. But the refusal was not because that he doesn't make salah or that he shave his beard or whatever the problem. Now she has the right to go and to take this to the Muslim judge or the imam in the community. And now this person who's in charge, he will bring him for consultation and making him marry her off for this person. In case of refusal, he will take over the guardianship. So from this hadith, we see that necessity of discussion and approval of the person who's going to get married before they giving them away in marriage. And it's not because that there is a guardian that he has the right to give the woman against her will. And from this hadith also we see that the consent to the marriage, it can be different from a woman to a girl, a woman who has been married or she had intercourse before, as example, maybe before Islam, whatever it was, that means she's not virgin anymore. Her expression can be a different from a girl who never been married, never been with a man. She may going to be shy even to speak about it. Okay, but we have to see and understand it can be different from a woman to a girl. For a woman, she has the ability to speak. And for a girl who's virgin, she maybe didn't say anything, but her consent can be understood by her being quiet. So now, if a virgin, her guardian presents somebody to her, and she spoke out, and she said no or yes, or she said yes as example, can this be acceptable? Yes. Okay? So we can be also a different from a girl to girl, although she's virgin, but maybe the culture that she grew up in it made her able to express her feeling. So basically, that we have to understand that we could not impose marriage in our daughters, in our sisters, in our mothers, whosoever. We could not, okay, being as a guardian. And also, because a woman been married before, this does not give her the right that she can conduct her affairs in her own, and we already spoke about this hadith before. The second hadith in our subject for tonight, hadith number 838, page number 348. وعن ابن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنهما أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال الثيب أحق بنفسها من وليها والبكر تستأمر وإذنها سكوتها رواه مسلم. The hadith is reported by Ibn Abbas and the hadith in the collection of Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayh. The hadith is authentic. That the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said what the meaning is: a woman who has been previously married has more right over her person than her guardian, and a virgin must be consulted, and her consent is her silence. And this already been explained, which is almost similar to the hadith before. And again, this is doesn't give a woman who been married before the right to give herself in marriage. Otherwise, as been described in the hadith before, she will be classified as a prostitute. In other version, ليس للولي مع الثيب أمر واليتيمة تستأمر. Again, we mention the explanation of these things in this version, which is by Abu Dawood, is authentic also. The next hadith, hadith number 839, وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تزوج المرأة المرأة لا تزوج المرأة المرأة ولا تزوج المرأة نفسها. رواه ابن ماجه والدارقطني ورجاله ثقات. The hadith is reported by Abu Huraira, and the hadith is in the collection of Ibn Majah and Darqutni, and the hadith is hasan, is good, acceptable. A woman may not give a woman in marriage, nor may she give herself in marriage. Okay, so this shows us that guardianship is only in the male members of this community. A woman, a female, could not be a guardian for a female. The guardian for the female, it have to be a male. Neither the woman can have the responsibility and the guardianship of her own self. Hadith number, again, all these things emphasizes again the necessity of a guardian in the marriage, and that there is no marriage without a guardian, regardless if the woman is single, if she's a virgin, or she been married or not virgin anymore, regardless that she married many times or only one time, that guardianship, it have to be exist in all cases. That also guardianship have to be by a male, not a female. Neither a woman can be the guardian of her own self. The next hadith, which hadith reported عن نافع عن ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال نهى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عن الشغار. والشغار أن يزوج الرجل ابنته على أن يزوجه الآخر ابنته وليس بينهما صداق. متفق عليه. This hadith, hadith number 840, in page number 349. This hadith reported by Nafi', may Allah be pleased with him, from Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu and his father also. The hadith is a collection of Imam al-Bukhari as well as Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayhima. So the hadith is authentic. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbid al-shighar. Al-shighar is a name for, actually the meaning in Arabic, shighar, that means something is a place, like you say, مكان شاغر, that mean an empty place. Okay? So the marriage that conducted with absence of dowry, they call it شغار. Okay? So because the dowry is not in it. But how is this kind of شغار conducted? It takes two. That mean a guardian of a woman want to give his daughter or his sister or whosoever that is a guardian over her in marriage. And now another guardian, he has his daughter or his sister, he want to give her in marriage. So now these two people, they get together, and this person, A person and B person, he will give his daughter to B person. In return, D person will give his sister to A person in marriage. So, like swapping one to the other, and no dowry. So now, okay, I want to marry your sister, you want to marry my daughter. So now what about, we call it even, that mean now is no dowry for my daughter, no dowry for your sister. You take my sister, I take your daughter, and this it. Okay? Because basically we have to remember that this dowry is the right of the woman. It's not the right of the man. Regardless if this man is the sultan, or the brother, or the father, the uncle, the brother, the son, this is not his right. Okay? It is his right to negotiate it. Okay? And to reach some kind of agreement, and to make sure that his daughter or his sister or whosoever he represents her, she's getting something, a fair amount of whatever reasonable. Okay? So he's not supposed to take it, neither he's supposed to disregard it. Okay? So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had forbade this. The hadith that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam prohibited shighar, which means that a man gives his daughter in marriage on condition that the other gives his daughter to him in marriage without any dowry being paid by either. Okay, neither of them. The hadith is authentic. And we see how the Islam is concerned about women and protecting their rights. Okay? Even to protect their rights against their own relatives, as a father or a son or whosoever. So from this hadith also we learn that shighar is haram, is forbidden. And also that it shows us how we should be concerned about women and advise them not to be taken advantage. Okay, so somebody who wants to give this girl in marriage and go get the other girl in marriage, so he concerned about what kind of benefit he's getting. Okay, but he's not concerned about the benefit that the woman going to be getting out of this marriage. And also Islam shows us that we shouldn't take advantage of our positions. Okay, if Allah put you in a position, that you shouldn't take advantage of it. Next hadith, hadith number 841. وعن ابن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنهما أن جارية بكرة أتت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فذكرت أن أباها زوجها وهي كارهة فخيرها رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. This hadith reported by Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him, and the hadith is authentic, inshallah. This concerning a young girl came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam complaining concerning her father who had gave her in marriage against her will. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave her the choice that mean this is up to you. If you want to remain in the marriage, it's fine. If you don't want to remain, we can get you out of this marriage. Okay? Again, we see from this hadith that the guardian, even if he's the father, you see, the guardian, even if he's the father, he's not supposed to give his daughter or whosoever that under his guardianship against their will. That the nikah or the marriage, if it's done with absence of the conditions, one of the conditions of the marriage, it can be dissolved. And the person who has the right to do this is the wali, the sultan, the wali of the sultan, the person who is in charge of the Muslim community. Okay, otherwise we're going to be like a game. Everybody say, okay, this marriage is not right, you go, you leave, you stay, and say, oh, this is my wife, how come you take it? Okay, because the sultan, he has the authority. Okay, and he can discipline and he can impose and force whatever rules he got. Also from this hadith we understand that we could not impose marriage on the women for her to be with a husband that she don't like or she don't be with him. And this was going to be happen if going to be a fasch, and the fasch is not a divorce. That mean everybody go as if was no marriage, annulment. Okay, so but as I said again, the person who will be doing this, if there is a case having to this, to be taken to the person in a charge. Okay, because he's the one who can exercise this right. Hadith number 842, وعن الحسن عن سمرة عن سمرة عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال أيما امرأة زوجها وليان فهي للأول منهما. Okay, hadith is Hassan, reported by Al-Hassan. The hadith mean good, reported by Al-Hassan from Samura, from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he's saying what the meaning is, if woman been given in marriage by two guardian, okay, she will be for the first one. Okay, if two guardians have given any woman in marriage, she marries the man she was first married to. Okay, like as example, I gave example here, I'm a guardian over a sister in the community, I'm the imam, and also the sister has a son from previous marriage, and now somebody came want to marry this woman, so her son gave her in marriage. Or let's give a better example, that I am the guardian of some sisters in the community, and also I gave the delegation for Habib. Okay, that I'm in busy some, he also can be a person that I delegate him. So now somebody came want to marry sister Saadiyah as example. Alright, so now here Habib came and said the sister, yes, he can marry brother Abdul Ahad. Now Naeem coming to ask me about the same time, and I was not aware, I was busy in a class, was out of town. What about sister Saadiyah? She's available. Yeah, okay, can you marry her? I say, okay, I give you the sister in marriage. So this sister been given by two guardians. Okay, so this sister married to which man now? To Abdul Ahad or to Naeem? So which guardian had give her in marriage first? Okay, this is the one that she will go to. Okay, So if there is two guardians, if there is two guardians, and it happen that both of them give a woman in marriage, okay, to do to two different men, she will be the wife of what? The first guardian who gave her in marriage.
She still got to give wide open consent.
Yes, she have to, okay. But let's say as example, she's ready to marry. She doesn't matter, okay, all the brothers, good brothers to her. Okay? And she doesn't matter, she doesn't mind to go with, to be with Abdul Ahar or to be with Naeem. Okay? Because as example, I can go and say to somebody, I gave you so and so sister which I'm a guardian over here to you in marriage. Abu Bakr, you witness, he said yes. Anwar, are you witness? He said yes. Okay. Now he will go to this sister, say your guardian so and so give me in marriage, so and so's witnesses, this is your dowry. Now if she said no, this marriage could not go. Okay? If she said yes, she is married.
Alaykum as-salam. So she can choose the second person over the first person that was
she wants? No, no. Now, as I said, now this would be a different case, okay? I have to sleep on this one, okay? Which hadith is it? Excuse me? 843. وعن جابر رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أيما عبد تزوج بغير إذن مواليه وأهله فهو عاهر. رواه أحمد وأبو داود والنسائي والترمذي وصححه كذلك ابن حبان. حديث is حسن, is good. And the hadith is narrated by Jabir, may Allah be pleased with him, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, what the meaning is, any slave male get married without the permission and the approval of his master or masters, okay, that means their owners, that he is a committing adultery, he's a fornicator. Okay, so even if the person is a male, but it may be a condition preventing him from conducting the marriage in his own, because a person who is a slave, he's owned by somebody. Same thing like a woman being under a guardianship of her brother or her father, whatever, she could not give herself in marriage because he's in charge of her affairs. So the male slave, okay, the male slave, and we already explained before about how can be a slave, not by jumping to another country and snatch somebody, get them to another country and sell them, become a slave, okay? So if there is a slave and his master own him by position, by buying him or getting him from the spoils of the war, so he is actually slave according to the Islamic rules, he could not get married until his master gave him the permission. And if he did so, he will be like a fornicator and his marriage is not right. The next hadith, hadith number 844, and this in page number 350. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لا يجمع بين المرأة وعمتها ولا بين المرأة وخالتها. متفق عليه. The hadith is reported by Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him. The hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayhima. The hadith is authentic. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what the meaning is, could not have a woman and her aunt under one man in marriage, neither between a woman and her aunt under the same man. Now, in Arabic, the aunt can be the sister of the father, okay? And also, the aunt in Arabic has different. We have amma and khala, but in English, there is the same term, aunt. So here the hadith is talking about two different women, two different relationship. The first woman is the sister of the father, okay? The second woman is the sister of the mother, okay? So a man could not marry a aunt and her niece, neither he can marry an aunt and her niece, okay? But I explain it in Arabic, and this is forbidden. If a man could not marry both of them, neither he can have both of them in the same condition. That means he could not have the niece, he could not be marrying a girl and after this go and propose to her aunt and marry her. Neither he can go and marry both of them together in the same time. Okay? And this will, if he have the niece, he could not propose to the aunt, and if he did, the haram will be the second marriage that he conducted is not marriage, but he will remain with the niece. If he married the aunt, he could not go to propose to the niece, and if he did so, the second marriage with the niece is haram and he could not have it, but the first marriage is the correct marriage. And we see that Islam is concerned about keeping intact the relationship of families and blood relationship, not to be spoiled as a result of marriage, because the closeness between a niece and an aunt, and what can bring as a hatred and hardship as a result of having both of them under the same man. And we may have ideas that what we see with some women, that they are in polygyny, okay? Some women, not so all the women. May Allah help them all, okay? But it is well known what happened between some women when they under the same man. So if you imagine that this will happen between a niece and her aunt, this will make a fight, a war, a boycott, all the things between them. So this marriage relationship will spoil the blood relationship, which is more important and been stated by Allah, and took place before even the marriage relationship. The next hadith, hadith Ibn Abbas, hadith Uthman, hadith number 845. وعن عثمان رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا ينكح المحرم ولا ينكح. رواه مسلم. وفي رواية له ولا يخطب, زاد ابن حبان, ولا يخطب عليه. This hadith which he reported by Uthman, may Allah be pleased with him, and the hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayhima, so the hadith is authentic, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbid for the person who are in a state of ihram. The state of ihram, when a person going to fulfill his obligation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to Mecca to perform Umrah or Hajj. So when he have his intention and change his clothes, and now he became in a state that things which, certain things which used to be lawful for him is forbidden for him now, this calls the state of Ihram. Like he could not shave even his head, he could not wear the regular clothes, this is called state of Ihram. So when a person in a state of ihram, he could not propose, neither he can marry. He could not propose for marriage, neither he can get married, neither he can give somebody in marriage, neither he can accept a proposal. Okay? So all this will be forbidden for him. The Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saying what the meaning is, one who is in ihram may not marry or give someone in marriage. In another version, he should neither make somebody help me.
Betrothal.
Like a proposal.
Yeah,
like okay. Betrothal. Neither. Yeah. Nor give someone in betrothal. So both of them, both ways are forbidden for him. And the hadith is authentic. Hadith number 846 عن ابن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال تزوج النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ميمونة وهو محرم. متفق عليه. ولمسلم عن ميمونة نفسها أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم تزوجها وهو حلال. Hadith is reported by ابن عباس, may Allah be pleased with him. And the hadith is authentic. Hadith in the collection of Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Some of the scholars, they had made some explanation about this hadith, and they said that this exception for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like as example that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam can marry more than four wives, this is exception only for the Prophet. So they said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in state in ihram and he married Maymuna, and this was like an exception for the Prophet. But in actuality, although that the hadith is authentic, but the Maymuna, which is the one who married herself, narrated the hadith and telling us that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam married her while he was halal. That means he was not in a state of al-ihram. And this is what acceptable to me, inshallah. And this what came from the person who got married herself, and this is the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And she will know about his situation more than Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. The next hadith, hadith number 847, وعن عقبة ابن عامر radiallahu ta'ala anhu قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن أحق الشروط أن يوفى به ما استحللتم به الفروج. متفق عليه. This hadith reported by عقبة ابن عامر radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Are you stand by, Habib? Okay. وعن عقبة ابن عامر, may Allah be pleased with him, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, what the meaning is, the most worthy conditions to be fulfilled are those which you make sexual intercourse lawful for yourselves. And this hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari as well Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayhima, the hadith is authentic, don't worry about it. So now we want to explain a little bit here about conditions, and this also to be known to everybody who planning to get married or they have people under their guardianship, that the condition is part of the marriage if is seem to be necessary. If not, is not have to be. And the condition can be made by the future husband as well or by the future wife. So if two people want to get married, both of them has the right to make a condition against each other for themselves. And I give, as long as this condition is halal, is not contrary to anything in the Book of Allah or Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Otherwise, let's assume as example that the man made a condition which is not acceptable to the woman, and they could not meet halfway. So there is no marriage. Nobody says that you have to get married. And the condition can be, as example, let's say a woman say, all right, I have 6 months to finish my school. If you want to marry me, that you let me finish my school. Now it's up to him to accept this condition. No. Okay? She may say, okay, I don't want to go to Arabia. If you marry me, you finish your school, now you have your own citizen, you can have a citizenship, you have to stay with me here, but I don't want to go to Arabia. I hear such and such about women in Arabia, or whatever the stories. I don't want to go. All these things have to be clarified before the marriage.